listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in Fox Football Sunday. It is another edition, week five, as the calendar flips. And just like that, one quarter of the season has passed you by. Is your team already struggling to where you're looking ahead to draft picks? Yeah, maybe watching a little more college football than you used to, going, that's my number one pick. That's my guy. Yeah, we've got a London game later. I'm excited, except normally in years past on a Sunday morning when I have a London game, I am watching a London game as we start the show. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister, and I feel like I got screwed here. Because you're dealing with the Oka people. Get out of bed.
Get out of bed.
I want football now.
In California.
Too bad. I'm up. Let's go.
I cannot tell you how much I hate those when you wake up on Sunday morning and that game is on at like 8 o'clock.
Oh, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Why?
Because you don't have to get out of bed. You roll over, maybe you convince one of your kids or somebody in the house to get you a cup of coffee, and you never have to get up.
Whose kids are up on a Sunday at 8 o'clock, but aside from going to church?
Mine.
How old are your kids?
14 and 11.
They're up at 8 a.m. on a Sunday.
They're
maniacs.
Daylight is wasting, George Reister.
What are they doing at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Reading. Maybe doing some of the homework so they have the rest of the day to get some other stuff done.
You have taught your kids
and they are
unicorns.
Maybe they're outliers. I don't know.
Yeah, but with the
they're up
NFL.
And moving. Maybe the little one gets up and makes breakfast for the house. She's a little odd sometimes, but
you have
she gets after it. That's my
you
girl.
Have the perfect kids, dude. Apparently, but with the NFL,
perfect,
the NFL
no, we can do it 3 hours on other things.
The NFL is not built to be on at 8 a.m. Like you don't even have time. Fans don't even have time to get up, have their cup of coffee, and process their fanaticism. They don't even have that. Like, fans have to get revved up. That's why there is a tailgate. That's why they pregame. That's why there's snacks. That's why they have the food come over. They invite friends, because there is an actual rev up and a priming almost of the fandom. And then once it hits peak, that's why you see the West Coast teams playing at the 1 p.m. games here, because they need fully time to get awake, ramped up, eat breakfast, do whatever they need to do for the family. You can go to church if you want to go to church, and then you can come out and enjoy some football. 8 a.m. football on Sunday stinks. College football doesn't even start till 9 a.m. on Saturday, man. And you want the NFL to start at 8 o'clock?
I'm saying it's an outlier. It's a special event. It's a red carpet type event when you go to London, and it's the Bears and the Oakland Raiders getting it on.
It's in.
So give me that.
Hold up.
Instead, I'm watching, get this, Borussia Mönchengladbach and Augsburg getting it on here on FS1. Say that five times really fast.
Dude, first of all, When we see those London games, what is the number one thing that you notice about the London games?
They celebrate kickers more than anybody else.
No, the TV quality, the picture quality is not the same. It is a totally different NFL experience.
Wait, are you calling London a third world experience? At George Reister,
I love London.
If you like London, he just bet not.
I love London. I was in London in November. It is one of my favorite places. I love London.
It's fantastic. I'm a big fan.
And
it's on par here with California, so you know you're getting your pockets turned out at every corner.
Dude,
just like you're here.
Dude, they will turn your pockets inside out in London. Just to get a cab, just to get a bite, just to get some fish and chips. They hold you upside down by your legs. You're like, are there any more pounds left, bloke?
And then they say, you can't come here anymore because we already turned you out for everything that you have. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes can save you 15%. Or more on your car insurance. You can visit geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. Over the course of the next 2 hours, we're going to get you ready for each of the games in a rapid whip-around kind of style, a couple minutes on each with the particulars and the ins and outs of the injury notes you need to know. One that's hit the wire this morning, Juju Smith-Schuster, game time decision with a toe injury. You've got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Devontae Adams out with the toe injury as well for Green Bay a little later in the day. Sam Darnold, spleen, everything else is still too swollen, not cleared to play football just yet for your New York football Jets. But a reminder for you fantasy owners, Chris Herndon is back, the tight end. And at the tight end position, we're looking for some help because some of the guys you may have drafted early haven't quite performed. Maybe you go there.
OJ Howard.
Yeah, I got him. Saquon Barkley, Jalen Ramsey out again with the bacchiotomy. You and I were just having a nice spirited discussion on Jalen Ramsey and where this is headed. Weeks ago, we talked about the NBA influence and whether players would start rising up. And this is in the wake. We had a nice discussion. This was a great podcast, too, about the new bill in California and others that are springing out about player likeness and getting paid, but certainly finding out what you're worth. And Jalen Ramsey right now raising his hand saying, all right, I want my money. Right, Rashad Khan. It's like, I want my long-term
Shad
big
Khan
deal.
Khan is trying to give him money, but and now he's saying, I don't want it. I want to be traded.
What could Tom Coughlin have said that it got that heated and exploded? Remember, we're on Sunday mornings, FCC compliance.
Here's the thing I know about Tom Coughlin. Because I got to Jacksonville the year Tom Coughlin got fired. So many players were holdovers over. So I heard a lot from him. And then I went to the New York Giants to go be on Tom Coughlin's
team. To go hang out with Tom Coughlin. How about that?
So here's the thing I know about him. He's a straight shooter. He's not like all fuzzy, friendly at all. But then everybody outside of the building is like, oh my God, Tom Coughlin is so nice. He's amazing. He's a great father. He's a great grandfather.
He does all this other stuff in the community. Yeah. And inside that building, I mean,
yeah.
Flip the switch.
Yeah. He's a curmudgeon. But at the end of the day, like here's what Tom Coughlin will tell you that players did appreciate. Is I played for a coach as well that would kind of sugarcoat things. He'd be like, "Hey, Mike, great job, great to see you," and then he'll be in the coaches meeting talking trash about you.
Sure.
Where Tom Coughlin will say it to your face. He'll say, "Listen, Mike, you're not getting it done right now. And if you don't get it done, we're going to find somebody else to get it done." And as a man, which would you rather have?
I'd rather have the latter, even though it'll hurt my ego and maybe take me to some deep, dark places. But at least I know where I stand.
Yeah.
Right? The worst is the smiley, happy everything, and I don't hear from you for 6 months, and I think we're doing fine, and then the axe falls.
Yeah, and that's not cool. So Tom Coughlin probably said some – you know, pretty direct things to him, and Jalen Ramsey got a little offended by it. And guess what, dude? This is pro sports. You got to put your big boy pants on. I've been called everything by coaches but a child of God. And there have been times where I had to have a sit down with a coach, like, hold on, coach. Like, I'm a man. That was too far.
Right.
We're still cool, but we have to have certain, like, I respect you. And I need you to respect me in that same way. So, and if you are, so I usually always side with players on player issues because, but with the, if I'm the team in this situation, if I'm the Jaguars, I'm not trading Jalen Ramsey because the next time that a disgruntled player comes up, he is going to try the same thing. So the Jaguars can control his rights for another 4 years. So I would say to Jalen, look, you know, if your back is hurting for the next four years, no problem. However, though, if your back is continuously hurt and we can't find a medical diagnosis for it, because no doctor is going to put their license and reputation on the line for Jalen Ramsey. So,
and the back is the one thing that you can go through in terms of what's on your body and the scans.
Yeah, but there's only so. Yeah, exactly.
How long can you play this out, yeah, I guess, is what it comes down
and
to.
And eventually you're going to have to show up or you're going to be put on the non-football injury list. You're going to be put on and you're not going to get paid and they can control your rights. But on the player side, this is something that needs to be negotiated in the next CBA, in the next collective bargaining agreement. So that way teams can't control your rights for so long because these are the situations that you get into where you don't get into in the NBA.
See, I like that in theory, George, but we all know that if they give him a nice, shiny other day off or one less padded practice, the players will take it and move on.
Dude,
all the time.
I refuse to believe because because I do some work with the NFLPA, and how the backlash has been amongst the players about this CBA and the stuff that they caved on and the way that it was voted upon has just been, I mean, it's been pretty, like, there's a groundswell of players who are just like, no, absolutely not. We're not allowing this, and we will fight you if necessary. Like fight other players if necessary.
I can't wait to see it because I've been arguing since I've been behind one of these microphones, just saying eventually guys either come together or you keep getting worked. And it's all a matter of whose priorities are winning out. But that's a discussion another time. We got to get to the games. Let's start.
Ravens and Steelers.
All right, we've already mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster with the toe. Looking at about 250 receiving yards for him thus far. Mason Rudolph, two touchdown throws in three straight games. Get almost 68% completion rate, only taking a couple of sacks. So the offensive line doing their job. James Conner says he'll be ready after practicing, but he's averaging just 3.2 yards per carry.
He's a non-factor.
Non-factor. So more Jalen Samuels. I would see him as a receiver.
James Washington.
You got to start passing the ball downfield because James Conner is a non-factor right now.
The problem is out of all these young quarterbacks, the one that's just so we talked about how these young quarterbacks are entertaining. You got the Lamar Jacksons, you have the Kyler Murrays, even the Cal Allen with the Panthers. These young guys are pretty exciting. But the one that's just a snooze fest, who I kind of don't like, it's weird. Like, there are some players that you immediately gravitate to and some you're just kind of like, ew. And that's Mason Rudolph.
See, I like the way the players seem to have gravitated to him, right? You watch that game. I mean, granted, it was the Bengals. But when you see the offensive lineman sprinting to slap the helmet, whatever, that's good, right? I mean, that's a good sign, at least in the locker room.
But
the style of play is certainly not exciting. You're not pushing the ball downfield.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we'll get into Teddy Bridgewater in a little bit. It's winning football, but it ain't pretty. On the other side, you look at Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. 51% completion rate against KC. The numbers ended up looking okay when that game was done. And then against Cleveland, 247, 3-2. Again, the numbers look fine, but they were really not, they did not play well in that game. So what we're looking at is against the Steelers, they're basically a middling defense when it's all said and done, and it all runs through Mark Ingram and trying to find your man, Hollywood Brown, out deep. He's already got, you know, his 18 catches, 304 yards, the big game breaker.
Doesn't this feel like a very, very important game for the Ravens?
Very much so.
Because they're sitting at 2-2 right now. They started out the season, destroyed Miami. Then they beat Arizona. Neither team is
really
good. So
you go and you bum slay for the first 2 weeks. Yeah. And then you get up in class.
Kansas City, and then you get the Browns. And that was kind of Lamar Jackson's first really real competition in the regular season. People had some film on him. So now he's got to show up because the Pittsburgh defense is pretty good. Like, they're only allowing, you know, they're allowing about, 400 yards a game, but only 280 passing, 122 rushing. So you want to see them and Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and the rest of the crew put up a good offensive performance and put up points against a middling team. Not the Steelers are not a playoff team, but they are a team that is going to compete and is well coached.
All right, so here we go. Here's the one stat, and then we'll pick the game. Pittsburgh, second in the league with 9 takeaways. Baltimore, only 3 giveaways thus far on the year, tied for third. Which one gives, George, in this one?
Oh, Lamar Jackson is probably going to throw one pick in this game, but you have to look that a lot of those turnovers came against the Cincinnati Bengals. They were just giving the ball away. It was, that was one of the most lopsided, mismatched games that I've ever seen, and Andy Dalton was so frustrated. But the Ravens are favored by 3.5 points, and I'm taking the Ravens. It is something about the Steelers team. It's probably because I like Mike Tomlin. I like the Steelers brand. I got used to Ben Roethlisberger. I appreciated how good he was. But, like, Mason Rudolph has like he's like a punchable face. I don't know why, dude. It is just a face that
now,
makes
now
you,
that is that, a good ring. Are they like. Covering the three and a hook?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So they're gonna cover the three and a hook. I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna say defense makes a couple of plays. This game's always hotly contested, and I think this one is just the same. And the Steelers at home in an act of desperation, just enough to get over here. He's George Reiser. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. Coming up, we get into the Cardinals and Bengals. Yeah, we'll give that a minute before moving on to other games here on this big Week 5 in the National Football League. Stick with us. We're just getting started here on Fox. Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. No acrobatic dancers up in here on a Sunday morning. Just me and George Reister,
why
our
not,
team.
Man? Wouldn't that make the show just that much more interesting?
Well, I mean, we do have a disco ball sitting over there. I don't know if that'll draw a crowd out here, because we do sometimes see people doing their little walk after a night of activity.
Hold on. I mean, like, people were upset about the acrobatic dancers at Kansas, but I don't get it. I mean, that is a legitimate, like, job. It is a skill. I'm actually talking about the pole dancing.
No, element. The actual yes.
Yes, it is
all
sport.
About time, place, context, etc.
Yeah, I mean they had their clothes on. It's kind of like in NFL play 60. They were just encouraging the kids there to get out and get some exercise.
Well, some exercise, right? I mean, and Snoop
That's them, a legitimate form of exercise now.
And Snoop gave them new language. No, I mean, there's places all over that have propped up.
Yep.
Go to your local strip mall. You might have a place where you can go learn some skills. You want to do it. You want to hang upside down. Could you be like hanging upside down like that drum major as part of the Michigan band? Did you see that yesterday?
Yes.
Hanging from dude's shoulders while drumming?
Dude, 265 pounds of man. That sounds like a disaster waiting to.
Oh, but someone's feeling all yoked up.
The physics of my body on like doing tricks on a pole for exercise only, it sounds like something ripping out of the ceiling, me ending up in the ER. Not good.
It's gonna end poorly. But you know what? It'd go viral, George. You want to make a name. There you have it.
What are you talking about? Going viral has no value. Unless you have something to sell. Going viral has no value.
Well, but then you just have to find new and creative ways to hurt yourself and make it a series. At George Reister on Twitter, find me over at Swollen Dome. Gets back into the games with one I know you're all really waiting for.
Lady, what do you think?
Cardinals and Bengals.
Yeah, let's get after it. Kyler Murray averaging nearly 300 passing yards per game, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's already been sacked 20 times on the year. David Johnson, 3.7 yards per carry, basically falling forward on the ground, as it were. But Larry Fitzgerald just keeps moving on. 23 catches, 300 yards already. 5 catches of at least 20 yards. I think that's the number to stand out. No Christian Kirk in this game. Look, on the other side, we watched Andy Dalton suffer through a miserable experience against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 8 sacks. He's already taken 19 on the year. John Ross now with his shoulder isn't there. Tyler Eifert's been virtually invisible. Tyler Boyd yet to find the end zone. And Joe Mixon, just like David Johnson, not falling forward. We've already given this 45 seconds. We'll give it 15 more. Ranked 28th and 29th in the league at 27.5 points per game allowed. Cincinnati, Arizona at 28 and 8, and many, many yards traversed down the field. There's really not a whole lot to break down here except to make a pick. So I'll take Arizona.
I refuse.
I can't pick Cincinnati just on principle.
I refuse, Mike, to let you downgrade and denigrate this game. Some of us actually care about this game.
Hey, I care about all 256 of them.
No,
I'm for time
I
interest.
Really, I really
you really care
about,
about
this
one?
Because I have Kyler Murray, I'm the idiot who drafted Joe Mixon, and Tyler Boyd in my fantasy league. So I don't care about
fantasy points can come from anywhere.
I don't care
if
about
these guys are ever going to score. They're scoring today.
Yeah, I don't care about watching the game. I just care about the results.
No,
this
sure.
game has vested interest, but
oh,
I
no,
will
I
agree
certainly
with you.
Wasn't trying to diminish it altogether. I mean, gamblers and fantasy owners alike they love the fact that we've got a 3-point spread here in this one.
It was fool's gold in week one when Andy Dalton threw the ball 51 times. I thought it could happen again because the team was bad. It's not happening. The Bengals are atrocious. Hopefully this can be a stat pileup game for both teams. But Cincinnati is favored by 3 points.
Yeah, well, it's the home field advantage.
I watched them last week. Terrell Suggs he's in like his 15th year. He might have his career best game against that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. I'm choosing the Arizona Cardinals, even though they're playing away. This game is horrendous. And John Ross is out for the Bengals,
that's
too.
It.
So there's no time. There's nobody to take the top off the defense and threaten them.
Auden Tate, the guy people were picking up on the waiver wire just because the Cardinal secondary has been so atrocious along the way. We both picked the Cardinals. Let's move on to better games.
Lady, what is that?
Colts and Chiefs.
All right, here we go. We got Kansas City. We all know the exploits of one Patrick Mahomes. Looking at that cast of characters, still no Tyreek Hill.
He's back practicing, though.
But he is back to practice, but was not cleared to play this week. So fantasy owners, don't get the itchy trigger finger on those trade requests, because you're only getting a bucket of balls. Don't do it, because he's coming back in short order. Big thing here is Indianapolis, just way too many injuries on the defensive side of things. Malik Hooker still out. Darius Leonard still not cleared, which I think is concerning when you're missing a second straight week.
Is T.Y. Hilton going
to
play?
T.Y. Hilton, according to reports, is going to go. Can he finish? Marlon Mack is going to start. Can he finish?
Yep.
There's just too much here. And Jacoby Brissett, even though he's efficient, 65%, averaging 242 yards and 10 touchdowns, just 2 picks so far, and the offensive line's done their job. I just don't know that there's enough weapons for them to hang with Kansas City.
No, there are not. And Jacoby Brissett would have to play the game of his life. Indianapolis's defense is probably the strength of this team. And with so many players out, that's going to be tough, because Kansas City is no joke.
Do they cover the 11, George? That's what we need to know.
Yes, but only because they're playing in Kansas City. They got the home crowd. Patrick Mahomes, he goes off. I don't know if there's ever been a second-year player that I've been this much in on, all in on. Because there were people who were all in on Cam when after his rookie year, second year. I am all in on Patrick Mahomes as not only an elite quarterback, but the best quarterback in the NFL right now, with Russell Wilson as a close second.
I think that's the only guy that you could argue is right on top of him at this point, the way we're working. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a turn out to London Town. Talk about those fish and chips that you love oh so much. But first, it's Isaac Lowenkron, who's going to give us an update on what's trending.
Good morning, Michael and George. We start in the NFL, where Adam Schefter reporting this morning that Vikings receiver Stephon Diggs is expected to be active today against the Giants. Minnesota, 5.5-point favorite in that one, according to pregame.com. Ian Rappaport reporting that Raiders receiver Tyrell Williams, a long shot to play against the Bears today in London because of a foot injury. The Bears are 6.5-point favorites for that one. Only 6.5?
Well, Chase Daniels, quarterback.
Oh, way. I forgot, yeah.
They're only going to score 10 points, so they can't win by 6.
There you go. On Saturday night in the American League Division Series, Garrett Cole struck out 15 in 7 2/3 scoreless innings, tied for the third most strikeouts in a postseason game ever as the Astros defeated the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1, so Houston leads that series 2-0. College football Saturday night, fourth-ranked Ohio State got 172 on the ground by J.K. Dobbins in a 34-10 win over number 25 Michigan State. Stanford upset 15th-ranked Washington 23-13 as Cameron gave the Huskies scarlet fever. Cameron Scarlett ran for a career-high 157. And finally, the Lakers played their preseason opener. So did the Golden State Warriors. So did the Chase Center, the Warriors' sparkling new arena in San Francisco. Lakers won the game 123-101. Anthony Davis, 22 points, 10 rebounds in 18 minutes. LeBron James, 15 points and 8 assists in 18 minutes. And perhaps a more intriguing story. After the game, the Lakers' official Twitter account tweeted, quote, "Consider this a warning."
Yeah.
@NBA, unquote. And if you're a Lakers fan, might not want to look at the comments section. A sampling, quote, it's preseason, bro. Quote, a warning for what? That y'all might actually finish over 500 for once? And finally, it's preseason, clowns. You guys haven't won bleep. Make the playoffs. Then you can talk. Speaking of talking, back to Michael Harmon and George Reister.
Thank you so much, Isla. Look, you know my stance. Flex when you can flex. In anything you do in life, you get over and you cook the perfect meal, flex. You make it to work on time, flex. Especially here in Southern California, that's sometimes a difficult proposition.
Yeah.
So figure out a way to find a win wherever you're at in your day.
Yep, I totally agree. So much for that winning with class. No, you win, you let everybody know about it, especially in sports. I'm all in on that.
And Adam Silver, are you kidding me? He did a fist pump when that tweet went out.
Oh, for sure.
Because what? They're going to flex and they're going to be that team? Right? To go next level. Like the Warriors, for the most part, went and just did their jobs.
Yep.
They dominated. But if the Lakers are going to get chirpy about this, it's going to be
gonna
a beautiful
be so
thing.
Fun.
Hey, you can listen on the iHeartRadio app. Take us wherever you go. You've got SiriusXM Channel 83, of course, FoxSportsRadio.com. Take us with you. Evangelize to your friends. Turn it up loud in those early morning tailgates wherever you are, although not too early here on the West Coast. I got multiple soccer games I'm watching, but over in London, in about 3.5 hours' time, they're going to kick a game off.
Lady, what did you say?
Bears and Raiders.
Yeah, Bears and Raiders. You heard Isaac's update. Tyrell Williams, 4 touchdowns on the year. He's their big threat, 216 yards. It's him and Darren Waller. Those are your two receivers of note, but Tyrell Williams probably taking a seat makes for a much more difficult proposition for Derek Carr. 6 touchdowns, 3 picks are on the year with 8 sacks. Thus far, the Bears getting after 3rd in the league, 17 sacks. They do have some issues on the defensive interior when you're talking about Roquan Smith, some personal issues that's been played out in Chicago media, getting very intrusive about that and perhaps a bit more so, not just taking the word, let the guy work things out, move on.
I don't understand where I read some articles where they were like, oh, well, it's time for them to tell us as fans, we deserve this. No, you don't. It's a personal issue.
Right, treat it like an injury and move on.
Yeah, you don't know what's going on in this man's life, and you think that you deserve
it. Wish
him
well.
You're not paying him.
Right, wish him well and move on.
Exactly, because when you have a personal issue going on, you get to keep it personal. Just because you are a professional athlete does not mean that you don't get to keep it personal. But I just realized right now why you wanted this game to be played at 8 a.m. Because it's the doggone Bears playing and this is your squad. That's why.
No, it's Mike. Part of it, though. But, I mean, I've always just loved the idea that I can walk in here, pop the microphone on at Fox Sports Radio, and while we talk up the rest of the games, we've got live action for us. Isn't it better when there's live action in front of you? I like these soccer matches. Don't get me wrong.
But
live football? Are you
would
kidding
not
me?
Be this excited if the game was Arizona Bengals. You would not be as excited.
Have you ever heard me sell Jaguars Titans on a Thursday night?
I'm interested in that game. I played for the Jaguars like Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, but you have a personal interest there. So don't try
so
to disrespect mine.
Hey, well,
you just tried to bash me. You're a Bears fan.
Just admit it. You know you did it. Just admit it. Bears are
absolutely
favored by
not.
6 points. They might win this game 6-0 because Khalil Mack is going to have about
38 sacks. All right, are they covering
sacks.
Or not?
Yes, they cover.
All right.
No.
Oh,
I'm picking the Raiders. You're
taking the Raiders plus the points. I'll take the Bears to cover. As you say, the revenge game, right? I equated him. He's going to look like Forrest Whitaker in Fast Times at Ridgemont High after they messed up his car.
Yep.
Where he's just running around and tackling everybody. John Gruden better watch out along the sidelines before it's all said and done.
Bears win. Raiders cover to 6 points.
Beat the spread. Let's get our terminology.
I'm sorry.
That's
man.
Okay. All right, next game.
Lady, what are you
saying? Falcons and Texans.
Okay. All right, Atlanta, Houston, two teams where we scratch our heads going, all right, what are they? Through the first quarter of the season. We like Deshaun Watson often, but let's face it, he's a guy that sometimes doesn't get rid of the ball. The offensive line gets all the criticism, but sometimes you just need to throw it away. The perfect QBR is not where we want to go. I loved his response to the reporter last week asking questions about routes and pushing the ball downfield. Very technical, one that you have to really slow down to understand unless you've played at a high level. But if more quarterbacks give me that, I feel like I'm going to become a better, smarter fan. It wasn't dismissive. It was quite the opposite. But what we have is DeAndre Hopkins still trying to get him off just 64 receiving yards per game. You've seen some lackluster efforts and not being able to push the ball, even though Carlos Hyde thus far quite impressive after his arrival. Two gains of at least 20 yards, but averaging nearly 5 yards per carry. Duke Johnson in his stead, also 6.3 yards per carry, so you move the ball. Atlanta, they can't run the ball. Devontae Freeman, just 3.3 yards per carry, but it always comes back to Julio Jones and Austin Hooper. Hooper drives the boat, and he also helps to drive this offense. But for the Atlanta Falcons, they just seem to find a way to lose games. After the next.
Is there a harder fan to be than the Atlanta Falcons? They just
because you have expectations.
Yeah, they can. There's nothing worse than unrealized expectations. Every year, this is the year they're going to give poor Samuel L. Jackson a heart attack, man. They already lost the Super Bowl 20 after being up 28-3, and last year they missed the playoffs. Couldn't score in the red zone. Then they blamed it on all the injuries. This year they come back just losing game after game, no matter what. And truth be told, if it weren't for Julio Jones saving the day on that screen against the Eagles, they'd be 0-4 right now. This is a team headed in the wrong direction with all the right people.
Houston given 4 today. I take them to win, but I'll take Atlanta with the points.
I'm taking Houston to win, and I'm taking Houston with the points. I think that Deshaun Watson, he's going to add so much, offensively with his legs and his arms. He's going to get rid of the ball a little bit more, take better care of his body, not get as many sacks. I like him to have a strong game, and DeAndre Hopkins, 2 scores today.
There you go. Atlanta giving up nearly 25 points per game. Hey, you want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much will match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. Coming up next, we take a turn with the LA Chargers and those hapless Denver Broncos. That's next on our list as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. This is Fox Football Sunday. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. We roll on through the remaining slate in the National Football League. Greetings. Welcome back in. This is Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister. Having some fun with you, going through all the games. We're getting more injury reports. A little bit of win there in London. The Bears and the Raiders getting after it. I know a lot of my friends in the media back in Chicago made the trip, and they were immediately complaining about the jet lag. You know what? You got to make a trip to go watch your team play football. Shut up. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much will match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back match. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. Back to the games.
Lady, what do you think?
Broncos and Chargers.
As we look at the Los Angeles Chargers, they're hopeful to have Mike Williams back. With his back injury, that he'll be there, because they've got so many other injuries of note. Hunter Henry gone, as we know. You've got Derwin James gone for the long series. Travis Benjamin was the name I was searching for in the receiving core, as you're just trying to slot guys back in. And that's why Melvin Gordon being back last week was dressed, didn't play. This week against Denver, you're looking at a team giving up about 23.5 points per game, can't get out of their own way, and defensively more toothless than I think anybody could expect it. And now no Bradley Chubb, who tore his ACL last week.
The Broncos didn't get a sack till their third game. Their third game, and then they lose their second-best pass rusher. Oh, yeah, things should get better on defense. I told everybody from jump, Joe Flacco was never elite, not going to be elite, not going to be able to add any additional
value. But he's hardly
value.
The problem, though. If the defense isn't up to their end of the bill, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but you do need your quarterback to be special when your defense is not showing up. And Joe Flacco can't be special. He can be serviceable. He can be a stopgap. He can't be special. And in this game, I thought last week, Anthony Lynn, Chargers head coach, sitting down Melvin Gordon, not playing him, even though he was shorthanded at running back and all of that, not being desperate, because sticking to his plan, I thought that gave his team much more confidence in him, letting Melvin Gordon get a week in a practice, only playing him if it were going to be an emergency. I loved it, and I thought that that was a solid coaching move, and sometimes it's the small things. That made me very hopeful for the Chargers' future. I think they're going to compete for, obviously they're not going to compete for the AFC West crown, but they are going to compete for a playoff spot. And I just think it's something really good going on in San Diego right now. They're
Los
favored
Angeles.
By, oh, well, yes, exactly. Los Angeles right now. They're favored by 5.5 points. I like what Phillip Rivers is doing. Give me the Chargers.
I will take the Chargers. I will also lay the points. Denver just toothless. It's more Brandon McManus time and time again. Sutton and Sanders having their way. They're moving the ball. They're just not finishing drives. But each of those players, 5 catches already of at least 20 yards, and yet you're talking about offensive inefficiency in the red zone. Next game.
They're like the Falcons.
Ready? What are you
talking? Patriots and Redskins.
There you go. The Denver Broncos are a little bit like the AFC version of the Falcons. All right, Edelman's going to play. We look at New England offensively. Hasn't had the same explosiveness these last couple of weeks, but when that happens, what do? You go and you find something on the schedule that makes you lick your chops and get excited, and that is the dysfunction in our nation's capital. The Patriots, 10 takeaways already, first in the National Football League, giving up just 6.8 points per game. Just absolutely amazing thus far. Washington, Colt McCoy back under center. And that's really the only selling point. I don't want to get too deep into the Jay Gruden stuff here this morning. You can read the articles and we'll do a podcast perhaps as the week goes on as to what's going on with that situation. But a guy who could legitimately be putting stuff in boxes end of day today or tomorrow. This game goes as
they're
badly.
Not gonna, what are you talking about? Everything's been going as badly. They're not going to fire him. Dan Snyder has made it clear he's not going to fire Jay Gruden. Who's he going to put in his
you
place?
Can put anybody in his place at this point.
Exactly, and you're going to get the same results. You might as well let him be the scapegoat for the entire season and for any maturation issues that Dwayne Haskins have. Let him be the fall guy, and that's what's going to happen. But when have we ever seen the Patriots defense be the star of the show, the bell of the ball? And Tom Brady had one of his worst games since becoming Tom Brady, like the Tom Brady last week. And if you're going to have a bounce back game, a resurgence, this is the perfect time to do it. And they gave up their first defensive touchdown of the season last week against Buffalo. They had the running back, Josh Allen, who has a QB by his name for some strange reason.
How dare you?
He ran one in.
Then he ran and got hurt.
But the reality is the Redskins are bad. I like the I'm going to lay the 16.5 with the Patriots. They cover this game because the Redskins are a dumpster fire.
Well, that's just it. Terry McLaurin, if you're looking for that desperation, why? Because they're going to keep throwing the ball. Because they're going to be down heavy, as you said, 16.5
or 17. They're going to keep throwing it to the Patriots.
Well, there's some of those, but by accident, you're going to complete 40 to 50%, even if you're the worst quarterback. Go and watch Tim Tebow. He was still near 50% completion rate, even though he couldn't hit the broadside of the barn most of the time. All right, New England rolls. I think we agree. Moving on.
Lady, what are you talking?
Bills and Titans.
We love the defense. We love the defense of the Buffalo Bills, but this week it's Matt Barkley under center for those Buffalo Bills. I love when these names pop
he's
back up.
He's just not a – the ironic part of this is he's a better quarterback than Josh Allen. Josh Allen is just a better running back, which is what they need. They're essentially running a wildcat system with the Buffalo Bills.
You just have a personal vendetta against Josh Allen. That's all it is.
He's not what everybody said he was. Even though he actually was a top 10 pick because it happened, he's not a top 10 worthy quarterback. And he's going to be the detriment of this defense, which is fantastic. They are competing with the Patriots for being the best in the league. Frank Gore has been absolutely outstanding. He's found the fountain of youth. But in this game, I just can't pick the Bills, dude. My conscience just will not allow me because Marcus Mariota.
Because you love Marcus Mariota, you've got a poster of him on your wall.
He's having a resurgence. He's going to make the Pro Bowl this year.
He had that one game, and now he's got a resurgence.
Yes, and he's going to shut up the Buffalo Bills when they come down to Nashville, buddy. Go Titans.
See, that was just blatant fandom. Even I don't go that far. Come on. Tennessee -3 in this game. The field goal better. Again, the Buffalo defense, fantastic. I just don't trust Matt Barkley being able to make a play. Look at the run game with Frank Gore is really where the strength is going to have to be to set up easy down and distance for Matt Barkley. And that's a tough call when you're looking at putting 8 in a box.
I do want to point out a player who's having a great season, though, low-key and quietly, which is John Brown, the wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. 23 catches, 315, and a touchdown already. Way more than he did when he was in with Cardinals.
Well, but the Cardinals always had him as a 3. They kept sliding other guys in and would only use him over the top. And then Baltimore completely misused him.
Yep.
So now he's at least found a home. Fox Football Sunday, you've got the Tennessee rolling. I'll take Buffalo with the points, but Tennessee to win the game. More football, NFL Week 5 next.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Having a blast with you here as we go through the games of Week 5. So much great competition ahead. Some games that are really interesting because after a quarter of the season, I think we can all say it's a mess, right? You've got your 3 undefeated teams. You've got your 5 winless teams. And then you've got the muddled middle, all those 2-2 squads. I think we only have, off the top of my head, I recall only one team with 1 win. So, you know, you have all of that. And yes, the Cardinals sitting by themselves with that wonderful tie. Yeah, to go with their losses.
This is one of those separation Sundays, though. This is one of those Sundays that kind of dictates the contenders from the pretenders, like the people who are going to be competing for the buys in the playoffs, the 1 and 2 seeds, and the teams that are going to be on the fringe. Like, if you're a Chargers or a Raiders fan today, this is one of those pivotal games because you're either going to be 2-3 or 3-2. And if you're playing a divisional game, then those are the kinds of things that factor into your playoff settings. And the AFC South, all 4 teams are 2-2. All 4 teams.
But that's just it. We talked a little bit in the first hour. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister, thanks for hanging out with us on a Sunday. We love you. Giving us a few minutes of your time to from services. Getting your tailgate ready, whatever you're doing. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. Hey, we got a lot of options, so if they're listening to the sounds of our voices, it's only appropriate. We give them the big verbal hug. We got our team, Isaac and Chris and Vince, making a sound oh so pretty as we come here. But we talked about Jalen Ramsey a little bit earlier and the curiosity of what happens with the Jaguars and his decision, right? Back injury is as it's termed right now. Obviously wants his long-term deal, 7.5. For this year, about 13.5 for next, and obviously the control years if they really wanted to push this out.
I need my cash, homie. I need my cash.
Right, and he obviously wants his money, so we'll see how that goes. Another guy trying to get his cash, and we're going to give this all of about the 45 seconds it deserves. Antonio Brown, you're hearing the updates, and Vince Close, our executive producer, at 3 a.m. this morning, West Coast time, as he had his 4th cup of coffee, reminding us that, hey, Antonio Brown finally filed those grievances that we've been hearing about for a while, trying to get up to his $41 million. Now, from some reports, the deposition on that whole furniture-throwing incident didn't go quite so well this week.
So how's it going to go in these grievances?
I got it. But the airing of the grievances is going to happen next spring, from all reports, George.
He wants $40 million. He wants the $29 million from the Raiders, which he said, release me. I don't want to play here. I know that you have these guarantees, but the Raiders covered their behinds when they fined him for conduct detrimental to the team. It was clear. It was documented. HBO even has evidence of this. So there is no chance he gets any money out of the Raiders.
He's getting a game check out of the Patriots.
Yes,
right?
That's it. He's not getting any guaranteed money because of a clause in the contract that says if you are subject to if you are a party that is subject to any action that could get you suspended or could preclude your availability, like you ended up being in jail or you getting suspended by the league, then guess what? They can terminate your contract. And that's what they did. So he's got more legs to stand on when it comes to the Patriots situation, especially if nothing comes out of this sexual assault allegation, if it turns out to be nothing or it's proven to be nothing or they can't figure anything out, then guess what? He may be able to recoup some money there, but he's going to have a fight on his hands trying to pry money from Robert Kraft's hands, because Robert Kraft basically said through Adam Schefter or his associates that they're going to have to pry that money from his dead, lifeless hands.
That's it. When you're talking about billionaires just saying, you want some of my money, come get it. I'll keep you in court forever.
I will lawyer up, buddy.
The only thing that would have been great is when he was doing the release me and whatever, if he'd sung a little bit of the Engelbert Humperdinck. There you go. Showing my age and showing my versatility.
Who?
Yeah, that's right. Look it up. One of the great love balladeers of our time.
Never
with
heard
a great
of
great head of hair. How dare you?
I thought it was going to be like the song that we played on the intro instead of Please Me, Baby. It was like Release Me, Raiders.
That's not bad. We'll work on that. And if we can get that to go viral, maybe again, we can find a couple of dollars to buy ourselves a cup of coffee. At George Reister's, where you find him on Twitter, the NFL vet, and he's very opinionated on the world of the Pac-12 and college sports. The sports landscape as a whole is where you find him. Pac-12 After Dark, giving us more excitement. George will have his thoughts. Already has some up there on his Twitter account for you. For me, NFL Week 5, and just the general musings about life at Swollen Dome. Let's get back into the games.
Lady, what do you think?
Jets and Eagles.
There you go. The Eagles are still banged up in the secondary. You know what? It doesn't matter. Because Luke Falk is under center. You still have no Sam Darnold. Still trying to get back into football shape and to get the swelling to go down, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, George, because we all started reading about mono because we needed to know. Sam Darnold, even though he's cleared from that perspective, still got to get the rest of the body in right, and the spleen, liver, swollen. The last thing you need is a huge injury coming off that. And with behind that offensive line, that hit was going to come. So you got to give it another week, give it another 2 weeks, whatever the case is. You're not making the playoffs. You're not making a run. Make sure this guy's healthy. Offensively, they do get back Chris Herndon. So inexperienced and struggling quarterbacks, the tight end is often their best friend. So I would expect a decent target count for him coming off his suspension. But beyond that, for fantasy purposes, you got your Le'Veon Bell. But the Eagles, Carson Wentz played great football, beset by a lot of drops in those first couple of games. They should be coming in 4-0 if things had actually played out right in those games. But, you know, ifs and buts. Here we go. Second quarter begins.
Oh, for sure. The Jets are injury-ridden, but so are the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Jets have Osimile, their guard, out. Demaryius Thomas, even though he's been a non-factor. Most importantly, C.J. Mosley is doubtful, and Quinnen Williams is questionable. So
he was questionable in the effort he was given when he was on the field.
Oh!
Did I say that too soon?
Oh, Lord. He's still a rookie.
I don't care. He's getting paid to play football.
The Philadelphia Eagles, they have obviously DeSean Jackson out, which is their deep threat. Ronald Darby, their corner, is out. Maddox, Sidney Jones is questionable. Tim Jernigan's out.
That's it. Defensively, they've got a lot of injuries. This is the right week.
Yes, they're playing the Jets, though. They're playing the toothless Jets. And Le'Veon Bell said that he was ready for, 400 touches this year? He might get them because he's getting all the checkdowns, all of this. He could quite possibly be one of the top 10 leaders in receptions by the end of this season.
He's getting 10 targets a game at this point. That's all it is. Quick checkdowns. Get the ball out, survive.
He's going to have 100 catches for 800 yards this year. It is going to be one of those Keyshawn Johnson heavy stat, low touchdown, low actual, impact on scoring seasons. But he's clearly a really good player. There is this will be the upset of the year if the Jets, with their third-string quarterback, fourth-string, really, at this point, because they've already been through Luke Falk, and they've already been through who got a hurt and broke his leg?
Oh, that was the Northwestern quarterback, Trevor Siemian.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're down to their fourth-string quarterback, and we already know backup quarterbacks are already hard to find. So the Philadelphia Eagles have a clear advantage. They're 2-2. They'll be 3-2 after today. But the question is that 14 points, though.
Ertz, Goddard, Aguilar, triple running back.
Their defense is beat up, though.
The Jets
so they're
stink.
Bound
minus
to give up
14.
Some points.
I'm taking them. I'm taking the Jets to cover
give
that
me,
number.
I, obviously, the Eagles are going to win, but give me the Jets, buddy. I like those points.
Lady, what are you talking?
Packers and Cowboys.
Now we're talking. Here's the meat. This is your premier game on Fox later on this afternoon. Aaron Rodgers, no Devontae Adams.
That hurts.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, become a good player. You're going to need a lot more of Jimmy Graham. In this game is really what it comes down to. Geronimo Allison as well. The defense the first couple of weeks, and we've talked about this, and I argued pretty loudly with my partner during the week, Jason Smith, about this game because talked about the Cowboys' offense and how dynamic they were. Michael Gallup comes back, so hang a star on that. That gives them a little more of that deep ball element as you go, coming off his injury. Amari Cooper's had a couple of good games and a couple of, well, he had the Harry Potter invisibility cloak on. And we saw last week they couldn't run, right? Yep. The Saints did the job defensively, but we had expectations that the Saints defense was going to be good coming into the season. So what gives in this game, right? The Packers defense the first couple of weeks, Trubisky, Kirk Cousins, and the dysfunctional Minnesota offense, and then Joe Flacco, who can't finish. And then, well, they face the Eagles, and the Eagles can go to work on them and take care of red zone business. So now when we look at the Cowboys, you have the other. You played some really bad teams to get started, so you're firing the ball all over the place.
Giants, then Redskins, Dolphins.
And then you get the Saints, and it's a decided step up in class, and you can't move the ball.
Both of these teams are coming off of losses last week. The Packers to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys to the Saints, which are both respectable teams. But we're going to find out what both of these teams are really, really made of at this point in time because the Dallas Cowboys offense had been spectacular through 3 weeks. Record setting. It's amazing. Dak needs $50 million. All of this. And now we're going to find out, is this team as good as they say they are? Or is this team just a quality playoff team, but not as special as we think? And we're also going to find out about the Packers' defense because people are trying to put them up there in the elite category with the Bills and the Patriots. I don't think they're that good. I think they're good enough to win a Super Bowl, but not good enough to just dominate and terrorize a team. And Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be special today with Devontae Adams out.
He's look, he left throws. Yeah, he left throws on the field last week.
Yeah,
right. For as good as they were at times, the old he'd like to have that one back. There are reads he missed.
Okay,
that offense.
I have a question for you.
Yeah,
Ezekiel Elliott or Aaron Jones, who has the greater rushing total today?
I'm going to give Aaron Jones the nod.
Really? See, I was
that's going to be a couple of busted oddball plays. Nothing, I mean, they can't scheme it.
I would like to say I disagree with you, but I can't.
Like, I think when we're looking at Ezekiel Elliott, I'll still force Dak to beat downfield at this point.
What? You are not a believer in Dak at this point in time?
What did he beat? Did we not just say that he beat up on a bunch of bums?
Yeah, we did, but he's also.
But
he's also 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's completing like 70% of his passes.
Bum slaying.
You still have to be accurate to do this.
He was playing catch in a grassy field. There were no defenders on the field.
Why is Dak so beat up and maligned? I think it's crazy.
I'm not beating up on him. I'm just saying the schedule's
he's
stunk.
Not appreciated. This is.
I want to see them again. This is not a great defense, but it's a better defense they played weeks 1-3. Can we agree on that?
It is, but this is reminiscent of Russell Wilson's first couple years when people were trying to say, oh, he's okay. It's the defense. No, Dak is a good quarterback, man.
But Russell had to do everything. Yes?
Not at that point in time. They had the Legion of Boom defense.
Yeah, but you had the good defense. But offensively, he still needed to make plays.
He did, but
so he
was
got underappreciated by football people. But because the stats weren't eye-popping. Like, Dak's stats are eye-popping the first couple of weeks. But again, he's throwing the air against bums. Man. I want to see him against a better defense. Too far?
No, it's not too far, but he's been doing this for years. Give Dak
the numbers
weren't always that he deserves.
Through his
And Russell Wilson's numbers weren't great either. They were just good. And now you're starting to appreciate him because he's got a bad team, a bad supporting cast. And if Dak had a bad supporting cast around him, he would be appreciated more.
You're just trying to get Dak paid. All right, who are you picking in this game?
Give me them Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
And do they cover the number?
Yes.
All right. He's all over Dak.
Four-point victory.
I'll take Dallas to win, but I will take the points. I want them. I need every one of them. Three and a half is only the spread.
You're not winning this one, buddy.
Well, but that's the curiosity, right? If they're that good, spread should be more than 3.5 at home.
No.
Yes, it should. That's a field goal. That's a pick'em game.
Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's got good weapons around him.
His
Their
numbers
defense
have been
is good.
Decreasing
three
for
and
years.
3.5 points. That Devontae just means it's gone. An evenly matched game, Mike. Jeez, you're just giving the Cowboys no love.
And I won't, because Tyron Smith is gone, so they're going to get after him tonight. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. Having some fun with you. Back into the games and more yelling next here on Fox. Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister. Thanks for hanging out with us here on your Sunday morning, getting it started from the Geico Studios. At George Reister's, where you find George on Twitter. You can find me over at Swollen Dome. Commentary throughout the day on the games, as well as just the meaning of life. Hey, you want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashbackmatch. Back to the games.
Lady, what did you say?
Browns at 49ers.
Now we're talking the Cleveland Browns. You watched them beat up a bit on the Baltimore Ravens. Baker Mayfield took on all the haters and used it as an energy source over the, you know, he just likes to keep volleying with people. He's pretty quiet this week. Didn't hear a lot coming out of camp, except Jarvis Landry on Twitter saying, yes, start me in fantasy football. He got cleared for practice on Friday. That's music to the ears of fantasy owners, but to this point, still waiting to see his target count rise, as it were.
He's invisible to Baker Mayfield. Right, I mean, thus far, he has not been using him and utilizing him. When Jarvis Landry is more like a tight end by function, like, he's going to have some big plays every now and then, but for the most part, he's a security blanket.
Well, that's just it. He's your 7 to 8 yards per reception guy as you go. Just move the chains, pile up your receptions. PPR league monster in many places, but knowing Njoku, you'd figure Landry would take on an even bigger role there against the Ravens. He had his 8 catches, 167. Keep feeding him. So folks were happy when the injury list got updated. For San Francisco, still a lot of questions as to what this team really is. 3-0 coming off of the bye week. So as we push forward with them, Jimmy Garoppolo, uneven defense, playing some pretty good football. Matt Breida, underappreciated.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's been a good running back, while him and Mostert have done a really good job of filling in for Tevin Coleman while he's been out with this ankle injury. And now Tevin Coleman is finally questionable. He may play this week. I need him back in my fantasy team. I do, but even if he plays, I'm scared to put him in the lineup.
I don't think I'm tinkering with what I got between Breida and Mostert right now.
Yeah.
They both catch the ball out of the backfield. Mostert's been explosive there. He's one of their top receivers, right? It's George Kittle and still sorting it out.
So who has the better quarterback play today? Because obviously Jimmy Garoppolo, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, only thrown for 739 yards, but they've only played 3 games. Some of those have been on the receivers, because what do they say? 80% of interceptions comes off of tips and overthrows.
Right.
So some of them have gone off the receivers' hands, but still, he hasn't been spectacular. And you look at a Baker Mayfield, who's been a turnover machine. He's only got four touchdowns, six interceptions, but his team has found a way to be 2-2. Like they beat Baltimore and they beat the Jets. They lost to the Rams and lost to the Titans. I feel like they're more winning in spite of Baker, not because of Baker.
Well, in ugly terms, yeah. I mean, they're looking at a team that's still leading the division. You've got a couple of big plays have saved their bacon, right? Go back to the Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, yeah.
8-yard dump across the middle that he
89-yard touchdown.
That Marcus May, I'm still wondering the angle. Like, I don't know that there's a player through 4 weeks I'd like to ask the single question of what were you thinking on the angle. Go back and watch the replay, folks, if you haven't seen it. I'll
Odell
retweet
turned
it back.
Under afterburners, man. And,
well, but again, at least slow the man up. Don't run to where he might go. Go and figure out where he is. Put a hat on him.
I mean,
slow
when they
him
change
down.
Speed
Do
that
something.
Fast, when they change speed that
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, but you saw he took an angle like he was going to meet him 15 yards downfield anyway. It was ludicrous.
He's running with his eyes closed. And,
well, there's some of that. He wanted nothing to do with Odell Beckham Jr. For San Francisco, 7 takeaways, hang a star on it. Part of that was the dysfunction and misery that was week one with Jameis Winston. For Jimmy Garoppolo, again, waiting to see who that second receiver is that emerges. Kittle at 17, Deebo Samuel. With 11 catches, 147 yards. Goodwin, Pettis. You got guys that are trying to make their name for the 49ers. Big game at home, given 4. I'll take them to win, but I take Cleveland with the points.
We are lockstep with this pick. But if you do need a fantasy tight end, like you just need just a streaming play, something, you know, like you just don't have any other options, a guy that's for sure on the waiver wire is going to be Ricky Seals-Jones. He's going to get some red zone targets. He's their guy with Njoku out, who they want to go to. And if he's picked up, maybe you might get a late red zone touchdown from Farrell Brown, maybe. But aside from that, they just go to the usual cast of characters. Landry, who's got 18 catches, Odell Beckham Jr., Damian Ratley. But, of course, they're going to try to do a heavy dose of Nick Chubb. But the San Francisco defensive line is not going.
There you go. Then moving on to the next game.
Lady, what a touch.
Jaguars and Panthers.
Young quarterbacks getting after it. The legend of Gardner Minshew continues. Once again, as we move forward another week, Kyle Allen on the other side for the Panthers has been efficient. You've pushed the ball downfield a bit more. Christian McCaffrey, as much as you have expectations by defenses that, look, it's all on him. He made him pay more with Allen under center than he did with Cam Newton. Cam Newton, the no longer a threat to run, changed kind of the elements of the game, doesn't push the ball downfield as much. Not that Allen has done that a ton, but it's been effective to date with the Jaguars, DJ Chark, D.D. Westbrook, O'Shaughnessy in the red zone, and then Leonard Fournette the last couple of weeks. We saw against Tennessee, joked about it a lot. He'd had that Barry Sanders stat line, 1-1, -2, 69. Didn't have the touchdown to go with it, but then busts out for 220-plus last week. So what gives in this game? I like the Jaguars, even without Jalen Ramsey out again with the back injury. Minshew just has been so efficient with the football, and now you give him a running game that's starting to pop as well. They're a very interesting squad as we get into the second quarter of this season.
You have the number one rusher in the NFL right now in Christian McCaffrey and the number three in Leonard Fournette. That's who these teams want to hang their hat on right now. But I think it's crazy. I'm so fascinated with Gardner Minshew because I watched him in college at Washington State, watched the magic, saw how good he was. I knew he was good, but I didn't know all of this was possible. Consider this. If when Nick Foles is healthy, if the Jaguars are 6-9, do you go back to Nick Foles? He's got no history in the city.
Oh, you mean if you're 6-3 as he comes back? Yeah.
Yes, you paid him $60 million, but how can you take a guy out of the lineup who has captured the hearts and minds of the city if he's 6-3? And that would be – it would be weird because I would feel bad for Nick Foles because this is happening to him again, but this time he at least gets a $60 million parting gift.
He gets a big check, and he's always there as a $60 million insurance card, right?
Or do they trade him to, like, Denver?
Ooh, now we're talking. See, George Reister bringing in the chaos theory as we go. But the legend of Minshew, I mean, the fact that you're already doing these season ticket packages and, hey, yes, come out and come on the field, we'll give you a bandana. It took 2 weeks. 2 weeks for marketing and merchandising to recognize what they got.
And that's just the fact that Nick Foles, his history with the Jaguars only has one touchdown. The play he got hurt on. And then Gardner Minshew has equity built up with the team and in the city. He's going to be hard to get out of the lineup. And the guy that he's been such a good job for doing is, who he's brought along has been Chark.
Chark.
19 catches, 321 yards, and three touchdowns. Hold up. Total side note, I just saw it on the television.
Yeah.
Flash up. So you know how players are on the sideline and you have to wear official gear and all of this. Yeah. Here is the thing that we just found out. Ben Roethlisberger got fined $5,000 by the NFL for having an Apple Watch on the sideline. He wasn't using the Apple Watch, wasn't doing anything with it because he had an Apple Watch on the sideline. This is ludicrous, dude.
And he got paid more than that to wear it, I'm sure.
He probably just had it on because he wears an Apple Watch.
Well,
dude.
Then maybe Apple will send him a check for $5,000 plus.
No way.
That'll get a lot of run today. All right, I'm taking Jacksonville to win this game outright. 3-point dogs on the road.
I want Minshew mania to continue, but I think it's going to have its hiccups, and this could be one of the games because Carolina's defense is really good, and Ramsey's out for the Jaguars. But I'm gonna stick with the home team. I'm going Jags, and I get 3 points too.
No. Well, the Jags are the road team. So are you taking Carolina to win?
No.
You're saying Minshew mania. So you're saying multiple things.
I changed my mind, Mike.
Okay, as you're flowing. All right, so you're staying with Minshew mania.
Yes, and I said I like the points. So I'm getting 3 points.
You were incongruous for me.
What? I like the Jaguars, and I'm getting 3 points.
You're making a mess out of my whole thing. Because you said you like the whole – I'm just confused anymore. He's George Reister. I'm Mike Harmon. It's Fox Football Sunday.
I'm not talking too fast. You're listening too slow right now, Mike.
I don't even think we'll go back and check the tape. But first, we'll go to Isaac Lohengrin, who's got what's trending. What's up, Ilo?
George, you just gave me a great line to utilize in my next discussion with my wife. I'm not talking too fast. You're just listening too slow. But you think
that should be on a T-shirt.
You think Roethlisberger would have been fined if he would have been wearing a Microsoft Surface tablet on his wrist instead of an Apple Watch?
No, absolutely. They would have said, this is one of our partners. So I bet you they have somebody just watching for Apple Watches on the sideline.
Yeah. Surface tablet, he'd have been the AFC player of the week. He wouldn't have been fined. We start in the NFL. Chris Mortensen. And by the way, coming up, guys, we have got an honest-to-goodness sports-related international incident that's developing as we speak with millions and millions of dollars at stake. I'll get to that after we tell you about the latest developments in the NFL. Chris Mortensen reporting that Stephon Diggs is expected to play today for the Vikings, but he had unexcused absences from practices on Monday and Wednesday, as well as unexcused absences from mandatory meetings, running his fine total in excess of $200,000. Yet the team does not currently want to trade him despite inquiries. The Vikings are 5.5-point favorites today for their game against the Giants, according to pregame.com. Adam Schefter reports Patriots receiver Julian Edelman will play today at Washington. He was listed as questionable with a chest injury. The Patriots are 16.5-point favorites. Ian Rappaport reports that Raiders receiver Tyrell Williams, a long shot to play today against the Bears due to a foot injury in London. Chicago, 6.5-point favorites for that one. In college football Saturday night, Stanford upset 15th-ranked Washington 23-13 behind a career-high 157 on the ground by Cameron Scarlett. Now, the Chinese Basketball Association has announced that it will cut off all cooperation with the Houston Rockets in light of a tweet by Rockets general manager Daryl Morey that supported protesters in Hong Kong. The CBA said in a statement, and I quote, "Houston Rockets general manager Morey publicly made an inappropriate comment related to Hong Kong. The Chinese Basketball Association strongly opposes this and will suspend exchanges and cooperation, unquote. Now, Morey's since-deleted tweet was denounced late Friday night by Houston Rockets owner Tilman Fertitta. And get this, the president of the Chinese Basketball Association, none other than Rockets legend Yao Ming. This is not a big deal in America, only in two places: in the Rockets front office and in the NBA offices on Fifth Avenue, because of the size and the money that the Rockets and the NBA can make out of the Chinese market, where NBA basketball is hugely, hugely popular. So this is a developing story, and it's not necessarily a big deal in America, but there's a lot of money on the line with this story, let me tell you. Now, speaking of money, how's that for a segue, baby? Back to Michael Harmon and George Reister.
Straight cash, homie, at Isaac Lohenkron, where you find him on Twitter. He'll be tweeting about all things Chargers a little later on today. We've got Chris, we've got Vince making a sound oh so pretty as we roll through. We got two more games to get to, so let's get it done.
The lady, what did you say?
Buccaneers and Saints.
All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When last we saw them, they were putting up a double nickel against the LA Rams. And Jameis Winston, the Jameis Winston we knew in week one, or thought we knew, interceptions returned for touchdowns.
Two
we talked
them.
About it against the 49ers. All of a sudden, everything else is working. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ronald Jones starting to emerge out of the backfield. And Winston, he's still going to make mistakes. He's still going to have the errant passes. That has not been coached out of the system by Bruce Arians. But what is there that wasn't before, he keeps coming back for more.
Yeah.
Right? Jameis of years past shrunk away after mistakes.
Yeah.
He pouted a bit. He's not doing that anymore.
He's leaning in. He's leaning into his mistakes. He's leaning into this team. He's leaning into Bruce Arians' offense. And Bruce Arians has been a quarterback whisperer. He has made every quarterback he's played with look good as they possibly can. And Jameis Winston, this is one of those critical years we talked about for him and for Marcus Mariota. Are they going to go the backup route, or are they going to go franchise $100 million guy route? And Jameis Winston is showing that he wants the 100 mil. He wants to be the leader. He wants to be the guy. And he's bringing along guys with him. He's bringing along Godwin. Ronald Jones has even had a sighting. He had a good game last week. Well, actually, the last 2 weeks, Ronald Jones has earned himself even more carries. I am starting to be believers in this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. I thought it was going to be an epic disaster after week one, but that shows why we should not overreact.
Well, but that's it. The show is in the now, and chaos theory is better than anything else on sports talk radio and sports television. George, you know this. That leads us to New Orleans. They beat Dallas last week. Defensive battle, if ever there was. But the offense, Teddy Bridgewater, thus far, much maligned, even though they're winning.
Game manager so far.
Because he's not pushing the ball down the field.
Yeah.
And the question is, how much of that element can be added in? Tampa Bay's defense, pretty generous on the edges
end,
if you go get it. So you got Michael Thomas, but who's that other guy? Is Ted Ginn finally going to see more balls downfield? I know a lot of it runs through Alvin Kamara, but can you just use him and Thomas? You need that third element to really break things open, because I think they're going to need to score points today.
Sean Payton's a good coach, and you know that he does self-scouting. He makes sure that he knows what's going on with his team, and he knows that if I were defending me, I would have my corner sitting on everything, because they're not going to throw it over the top. So even if they don't necessarily complete a ton of deep passes, they're going to threaten them today. They're going to throw some corner routes, some double moves. They're going to try to go deeper and make Teddy Bridgewater play quarterback, because they believe in him. He's been pretty accurate. He's taking care of the football. So now the next step is for not only his career, but for this Saints team this year, is to have him push the ball downfield. I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that they are going to put up a fight, but ultimately they're playing in the Superdome, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and that's a special place for the Saints. They're going to play hard, and they're going to go from 3-1 to 4-1 today.
Do they cover the 3 points?
It's hard not to cover 3 points. You know, if you win, you're probably covering the three. Yeah, so I'm taking the Saints.
I'm going to go through a bunch of gambling data. I'll be texting you all day with those. I'll find my Vegas sharps to tell you. I'm taking Tampa to win this game outright. Believe Whoa. In Bruce Arians. I like what I see from Jameis Winston.
I don't hate it. I mean, I was leaning that way too. And you got the red glasses on today.
Well, thanks.
The Buccaneer red glasses on, looking all extra fashionable.
Hey, I can dress up when I want to. I can make it look good.
Okay.
But at 6 a.m., I'm not dressing to impress you, even though I guess I just did. At George Reister on Twitter is where you find him. Find me over at Swollen Dome. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. So go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up next, we've got our last game of the day, a little bit of fantasy advice as we go to our Ninjas of the Week. And, of course, where we're watching, what we're watching, and what we're consuming while we do so. That's next on Fox. Greetings. Welcome back in. This is Fox Football Sunday as we come to you from the Geico Studios, having some fun with you. Thanks for hanging out with us and making us part of your Sunday morning as we get ready for Week 5 of the NFL game in London. 10 early games, so you'll have to have your head on a swivel and get your game mix going, add two TVs. Maybe you just go buy another one today because this is one of those lopsided NFL schedules. Never truly a fan of the way they do these things sometimes. Mike Harmon alongside George Reister. At George Reister is where you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. George pontificating about the world of sports at large. A lot of Pac-12 football. The Unafraid Show is where you can find him during the week. And obviously here on Sundays with me and around the network a bit. And it's been an active morning. A lot of injury news coming down. Burkhead's out. Chung's out. We talked a little bit about grievances. But now we have one game left and a developing story here.
The lady! What did you say?
Vikings and Giants.
All right, the G-Men. No Saquon Barkley, even though he's talking that he went to Wakanda and got their medical technology. I like that. Nice reference. Yeah. Maybe they can get him a little bit part in Black Panther 2. As that gets ramped up. But Wayne Gallman acquitted himself quite nicely as a runner and receiver a week ago. Daniel Jones, the turnover issues, a bit much against this Minnesota defense, and we'll get to their offense in just a second, against this Minnesota defense, I'm afraid that, you know, he's going to be under siege and that you're not going to get the separation in the secondary that you like. Ingram, obviously the safety valve over the middle. But for the Minnesota Vikings, that all is fine and good. The offensive side of things, the Schefter report and Mortensen report and everybody coming out saying, hey, $200,000 fine for Stephon Diggs. Does he want to be traded? Does he not want to be traded? He's getting a lot of money.
That's insane.
Right? He got his contract extension, but then didn't show up for practices, didn't show up for film.
This is the stupidest thing that I've heard since Antonio Brown. And then before Antonio Brown, it was a long time before I heard something this idiotic. So you just got a huge contract. You're mad because you aren't getting enough balls. So then you miss practice on Monday, Tuesday, and you get fined $200,000 because you're unhappy about your targets. Dude, suck it up. Show up to work. Be mad at work. Don't cost yourself money. I never understand why guys do this. You're going to cost yourself $200,000. Do you know what you can do with $200,000? You can go buy you a new Lambo. You can go invest in something.
In a lot of cities, you can go buy a house.
Yes.
With cash.
Well, in flyover states.
There's a lot of places.
I don't know if you can buy a house in Minnesota, in Minneapolis for $200,000.
Not in Minneapolis, but if you're willing to go a couple of miles, I bet you can.
Yeah, somewhere where they don't have, you know, somewhere close to the Canadian border where they don't have an airport or something like that. Yes, you probably can.
Eventually, it'll be all developed anyway, George. So you're in on the ground floor.
Yeah, but you'll be dead by the time.
But your heirs will use the greatness of that. If nothing else, you've got a nice campsite for you and your family, time and time again. As we look at the Vikings, though, Kirk Cousins at times. Not the gunslinger, the tag that was once thrown upon him many years ago. Now he seems almost reticent to push the ball downfield at times. Adam Thielen,
yep.
more or less called him out. He had to respond in local media. Now you got the Stephon Diggs issue, even though Diggs went over 100 yards with seven catches a week ago. Even with the dysfunction, I'll take them to win this game. I don't know that I can give 6 points, though.
I like the New York football Giants in this game. They're getting Golden Tate back. Daniel Jones is playing really well. He's got an energy about this team. He is being super efficient as well. He's got he's 49 of 71, 3 touchdowns, 578 yards, and he didn't even have Golden Tate. So now that he's got Golden Tate, I expect him to be dramatically better. But you know what I do expect to happen? Speaking of your fantasy ninjas, I'll give you mine now.
Yeah, go ahead. Hit one.
Stephon Diggs is one of the guys who's going to finally break out because he's made enough noise. He's made enough chirping. So has Adam Thielen. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to throw these guys the ball. Even if I were the coach Zimmerman, I would have deactivated the pool for missing two straight practices. He's creating a bad situation for his team by letting him play. But anyways, I got him, Joe Mixon, and Ronald Jones today to have big games.
Look at you. As you push through, I'm going to go to the quarterback position first. I do like Daniel Jones to put up numbers. I think it's an ugly way to go. Gardner Minshew all the way down there as the, for consensus rankings, back-end QB2. I like him a little bit better than that. Running backs, people don't trust the workload. I'll take Melvin Gordon. I'm going to ride that to about a 15-touch day as we roll. And no Rex Burkhead, so what does that mean? More James White.
And Sony Michel, too.
Yeah, Sony Michel, a guy just getting questions on the Twitterverse. We'll go to Sony Michel, certainly. For this, also just the Stephon Diggs really quickly. They could have voided his deal if they wanted to based on the language, right? Based on not showing up. They elected not to do so, but the fine still acrimony rises up. But for today, perhaps some bigger shots downfield. Which game is the one that's jumping to you to the forefront?
Oh, obviously it is the Packers and the Cowboys. I want to see what the Cowboys are really made of and if the Packers defense is really as good as they say.
I want to see that Chargers-Denver game just because the Chargers.
Why?
Because Denver is so bad. I want to see if the Chargers take care of business and keep moving on because they've got to win this game to stay in the race as we go forward. He's George Reister. Legit. I'm Mike Harmon. Fox Football Sunday. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.